Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Again, here on Circles of Change, it's always a pleasure to have an in-studio guest, and today I have with me Judith Blair. Welcome to the studio, Judith.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You bet. Well, a story. Her title of her segment is going to be A Mission Impossible Life Touched by an Angel. Let me explain. Judith is a native of Ohio, attending Miami University there in Ohio, Oxford, and then living in Houston, Texas for 19 years before moving to Tucson in 1999. Judith has held professional positions as a commercial real estate manager to a law firm personnel administrator to being a family service counselor at a funeral home. One of her strongest traits she's known for is effective communication at all levels. Judith indeed is known for that across levels of organizations, from having had the chance to travel on a private jet as a cosmetic trainer years ago, to being engaged positively with neighbors while living in a low-income housing projects after her divorce and other things that life threw at her. With all of its highs and lows, and I'll say sideways, ups and downs, and circles, Judith discovered her life journey as a combination of Mission Impossible and one that was also touched by an angel. You're going to hear her shortly about her journey of donating a kidney, becoming an advocate for the kidney donation services, all the way to being right now currently the media director for the upcoming Go Red for Women event hosted by the American Heart and Stroke Association, their luncheon coming up on October 29th. So again, welcome to the show. Mission Impossible, tell us about that.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And I would also mention effective communication, I believe, is horizontal. It's great to be with you here in the studio.
Thank you.
Eyeball to eyeball, and hopefully we can speak heart to heart to your listeners.
I got it. Thank you.
In viewing my life, I look back, and truly it was some missions impossible. When I was, I encountered some seemingly insurmountable obstacles, but I made that through because of the grace of God, and thus I mentioned the touched by an angel. 40-some years ago, interracial marriages were not that common, but I met and fell in love with a wonderful gentleman that was Afro-American, decided to marry him, was totally rejected and disowned by my family, disinherited by them, and went through a lot of rejection. Went out on a limb, and the limb broke.
Oh, dear.
And got into an abusive situation, which I didn't perceive. And I've come to realize now that there's a lot of generational curses that are encountered, and nor did he know that, but went through an abusive relationship, and then that ended in divorce. From that relationship, though, I had two sons and raised those on my own. I was ostracized from the white community because of my biracial sons,
yeah.
And went through some rejection too from the African-American community.
So you're living in between, really.
Right, living in between. But and then when I was in a low-income housing situation, I was raped by a neighbor.
Oh dear, yeah.
So went through a lot of things that were seemingly a mission impossible, but it's been said that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I became stronger through all that. I discovered something that beyond sympathy and empathy for people in similar situations, and thus have become more active with people who've been through what I've been through.
Well, you know, we talked about, as I said in the introduction, that you've been in the commercial real estate business and law, and then the next one was the whole nonprofit family service area. So I imagine some of those life experiences have equipped you with real wisdom and personal life to carry through and be empathetic with people.
It has. And to see people, separate people from their behavior, to accept them and love them, and the power of forgiveness by separating that behavior and acknowledging its behavior, and yet to love the person for whom they are.
That's lovely put. The story, of course, of you making a decision to donate a kidney, tell us about that, because I know that is such a part and parcel of the advocacy work that you then have manifested over these years, Judith.
Okay, that was 10 years ago. And I just perceived a mandate from God to do so. When I had moved here from Houston, I had the business cards of several people having visited here because my son played basketball here.
Okay.
And one was a professor who was in dire straits. When I came here, I was aghast at his appearance. He was in kidney failure. I offered to donate the kidney, and at the time was participating in Senior Olympics, so I just continued my training, walking 5 miles, power walking 5 miles every morning, and drinking a gallon of water daily. And we did it at Mayo and Scottsdale, and that kidney set records with the amount of fluid produced within the first 24 hours. And less than 90 days after that, I ran the 50, 100, and 200 meter sprints at Central High School in Phoenix at Senior Olympics and won all three. So when I speak to people about the donation, it's one thing to tell them that it doesn't negatively affect your lifestyle, but I indeed showed them
that. Yeah. Well, I have to imagine you really didn't know this gentleman. So to approach them and say, I'd like to be tested to see if I could be a donor.
He was an acquaintance. Not a close friend, but an acquaintance.
Yeah.
And when I speak to groups about kidney donations or about kidney disease, I tell them I was part of the naive status quo. I had no idea that so many thousands of people are dying just waiting for a phone call for a transplant. And yet we're burying and cremating those organs that could save lives.
Yes, in fact, we dedicated our entire show to the National Kidney Foundation about 6 months ago. A young man in his 30s that rather than let life continue on its way because he was on dialysis, he decided to do something about it. And he's created a series of equine horse expos up in Phoenix for that very purpose, to generate not just funds but the awareness for the whole prospect of organ donation. And that really has become the badge you wear now.
It opened a new pathway for me I never would have dreamed of.
That's right. So that involves your public speaking, or how are you involved then in that campaign?
That I do help with events. I had a bowling event here some years ago and a dinner event to raise money for the Kidney Foundation. One interesting confirmation that I had done the right thing. My son Joseph was playing basketball in Italy at Pesaro after I had donated. And when I was excited, I was promoting organ donation here. I thought, well, what can I do there?
Yeah.
And when I went, I thought, well, he's busy with his game. I went on Saturday night after the game. He said, Mom, the general manager asked me to participate in a community event involving organ donation on Monday. I'd like for you to go with me.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
What a conversion. You got a pro coming from the States.
So we went there, and it was a press conference. I couldn't have called it head and done anything more perfectly, as God had ordained. And a representative from the mayor's office was there, the hospital administrator, and they went around the table and speaking Italian.
Italian, I was going to say, yep.
Joseph's fluent in Italian. They just thought he brought his mother along. Well, the general manager signed his donor card, and then Joseph spoke, and he stopped, and they all applauded. I said, Joseph, what did you say? He said, I told him you donated the kidney. And we were, it was written up in the press and then on TV, and it was just a confirmation that I had done the right thing at the right time.
And that, in fact, so this idea of the circles that come back and how that influenced to see your son, his strength. Well, I didn't mention, of course, in my opening comments that you studied at Miami University and it was physical education. So tell us a bit about the Senior Olympics. Many people may not know what that's all about.
Well, I made the Junior Olympics. I was third in the state in Ohio. I missed the main ones, but then I was...
But you weren't able to be undone.
Well,
you were going to come back.
Right. I thought the opportunity is here again.
Was it in track and field then?
In track, right. But, you know, during my era, there weren't girls' sports in junior high, high school,
right,
or anything.
And this predates Title IX.
Right. I played softball on a local team, and then I ran. But then I was Senior Olympics. Once you're 50, I thought, well, I can no longer say I don't have the opportunity. So I ran here in Tucson, and then after donating the kidney, I ran here in Tucson, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Houston promoting organ donation as well.
Wonderful. And how many, do you know the statistics behind how big the whole Senior Olympic network is around the United States these days?
I don't have the volume or the numbers at this time, but it's very prevalent with the need to exercise. And then the camaraderie is terrific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, I bet. Right. And it really does cross generations if you think about it when you're out exercising, I'm sure. And so, yeah. Couch potatoes out there, look out if you see Judy coming, because she's going to have you up and moving. Well, now, your involvement here with the American Heart and Stroke Association, how did that come about, Judith? Yet another cause you picked up on.
I also said identification produces bonding. After I donated a kidney, that's been 10 years, and was being very active still, about 4 years ago, I was fatigued and didn't know why, and had cut down on the running with swimming, and could hardly do 2 laps. So I went to the doctor, and by the time they got the... My primary doctor said, I think it's your heart. By the time they got the right heart monitor on me, less than 24 hours later, they called and said, get to an emergency. You've been in AFib for 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Less than 24 hours. Well, I felt like I'd felt for months. So, bottom line, I had a flutter in my right atrium, which I took care of here at in Tucson, and then AFib on the left, and had surgery on that in Phoenix. And now I don't have to be on any medication anymore, and that's I'm very thankful for that, assimilating through the one kidney.
Yeah,
gained some weight with the meds and the fatigue, but I've lost most of that and on the right path again.
So you were also then thus a natural advocate to be part of the upcoming American Heart and Stroke Association's luncheon. So why don't you tell us a bit about
right.
that coming up?
Right, the Go Red for Women. And I went last year and participated on the committee at the end of the year. And now this year I've been media chair. We are really blessed this year in that we have a Biggest Loser as our keynote speaker. Jerry Hayes is coming along with his wife Estella, and his personal trainer Amanda will be involved in the conference that starts that morning. The date is October 28th. It's going to be held at Lowe's Ventana, and we're encouraging all to rally around women, come and become educated as to the risk of heart disease with women.
Yeah, in fact, just last week we had Dr. Joseph Chambers from the Carondelet organization that
right.
came and spoke about that. Some of the statistics are staggering, and it's really interesting as I talk to more and more women, didn't realize that all cancers combined plus diabetes still underrepresent the amount of fatalities for women that otherwise take the heart and stroke environment.
That's right, and the symptoms are different than that from a man. I know.
Yeah, which is truly the gotcha.
Right. I thought I needed a larger size bra. What about that? And here it was my chest. I was just, it was tight and difficulty breathing. And then some pain in under my shoulder blade. So different symptoms.
For those interested in going to the event on the 28th, how can they get tickets?
They can call the local Heart Association office at 795-1403 or goredluncheon.org. And obtain tickets that way.
Yes, and I know you said that so far we've had 300 individuals sign up, expecting maybe 500, so
right.
there's a great opportunity to get there. I had the pleasure of going last year mm-hmm. and thoroughly entertained by the Galloping Gourmet,
right.
Who himself, you can imagine, cooking with slathers of butter and all those other things we love, for the
mm-hmm.
Food Channel watchers out there, of course, but how his life shifted with his wife's illness, and then he shifted his whole thought around that coalescence of the food that we ingest.
That's right. With heart disease or with kidney disease, there's such a rampant era of obesity now. The major causes of kidney disease are uncontrolled high blood pressure and diabetes, and that just contributes to that when we have obesity, as well as the heart problem.
Yes, the other thing about kidney disease, if I recall from our having sponsored that on an earlier show, is this GFR test that's done, not unlike PSA for men or the pap smears for women, that should be something we more and more should ask for, should we not, in our
yes.
standard battery of tests?
Yes. Like cholesterol reading or anything else to ask for that. 1 in 9 Americans is at risk for kidney disease.
1 in 9.
Right.
And if I recall as well, it does not have differential in terms of race, gender, or age group either.
No. No, especially with the juvenile diabetes now. Yeah. Yes, so it's good to have that checked when
right.
you're having a physical.
You talked about organ donation. Of course, it's one thing to be very specific for people to venture on that path that you did and see if their kidney, one of their two kidneys, could be donated.
Mm-hmm.
But just organ donation in general, you know, we get our driver's license and there's that box you can check.
Mm-hmm.
Are more people realizing this is a gift they should do you think, in this day and age?
Hopefully so, but with the rate that the need is increasing,
yeah.
We need all the more. So make a resolution to do that. We're coming toward the end of the year to make some new resolutions for your life. So you haven't, if you haven't done that, make sure to check that and get in touch. And you're not going to use them anyway. What greater gift than to save someone's life?
Yes, and you, of course, you hear the stories and you see the catastrophic in an individual, but yet then there's the five people that are alive and well who've benefited from those donations.
Right. And it really helps for closure, too, for a family to be able to give life to someone at the passing of someone else. Another event that happened just subsequent to my donation of the kidney, the only person in my family that I know of had donated a kidney was a cousin, or not a kidney, but organs, was a cousin's son in Buffalo, New York, who had a motorcycle incident, mm-hmm. and they donated those. And my aunt told me about it. And then after my donation, I became active to Donor Network, and Transplant Speakers International came here from New Jersey to teach us to speak to groups, and there were two individuals. Jack's daughter had been gunned down in the subway incident, and the other gentleman had a heart problem for 9 years, and he had gone to New York and gone to the top of the list, and then he spoke of the teenager that had donated his heart. And he was from New Jersey. He got the transplant in New York. He was giving this speech in Tucson. I said, "Do you know the name of your donor?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Is it Tom Mock?" He said, "Yes." "How do you know?" I said, "You have my cousin's heart."
Oh, my goodness.
And he was standing here right before me in Tucson.
Boy, when you have, I'm just, those just send chills in your spine. Mm-hmm. So again, that's another affirmation to
True.
You, Judith,
True.
That the path your life has taken professionally, personally, in the community continues to reinforce that you're, you know, watched by that angel and becoming an angel yourself in that mix.
Hopefully so.
That's right. Well, tell us what's next on your plate of things to do.
Next is trying to share some of the things I've learned in my 63 years, approaching 64.
Great.
That might benefit others. And youth especially, to encourage people to find their purpose. I believe your purpose gives you a compass for your life. And to discover your purpose, I think you need to consult with the manufacturer, to go to God and ask him what you think he has you here to do. And I believe that we're created in his image for a reason. We're to mirror him and his goodness and his grace and his attributes. And then also I believe you need a vision. It's scriptural that without a vision, people perish. But my scope of a vision includes hindsight, foresight, circumspection, and introspection.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly that being guided from what's in your inner core, that can really sustain a lot of the bumps and ups and downs.
Yes, and then also there's such a tsunami of knowledge with our
we talked about that earlier,
now.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah, so how
right.
do you tease it out?
Yeah, and then there's so much knowledge, but so little wisdom. And I believe that wisdom is the correctly appropriating knowledge, and there's profoundness in simplicity.
Yeah, and didn't we even had our prior guest, Stephanie, mention that once she got very clear on what her offerings were in simple language, that people could pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. And then I would suggest that people make a bucket list of what they really need to do, but not only a bucket list, two other lists, a thank you list for people that you need to thank, and a forgiveness list, those people you need to forgive.
Yeah, I think we've even talked about that those unresolved things that have a way to keep hooks on our ankles, and that many times when you go have those conversations, people look at you and say, "I don't even remember that happening," but to kind of soothe and clear your path.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Well, Judith Blair, thank you so very much for the advocacy, the volunteer work you've done for so many causes. And one more time, the idea, the Tucson Go Red for Women, remind our listeners.
Sure, it's October 28th. It starts at 9, and there's the conference in the morning and the luncheon at noon, and that's at Los Ventana Canyon Resort. And contact the local office at 795-1403 or go for red luncheon.
Luncheon, very good. Judith, how do you think you've changed in the course of helping other people change? What do you think some of your big learnings are across these different venues you've brought to bring to light change for others?
I think I have more empathy for other people, and with that have better communication. and love for people and more patience. And I found that it is truly in giving that you receive, but don't expect to receive from the person you give to. It will come from another angle.
I think you're right. That idea, there's this ripple effect, and just trusting that some way, somehow, it's going to come back.
And I believe the greatest responsibility we can have on earth is the molding of another life. And I'm so blessed to have two wonderful sons, Jonathan and Joseph, that have done me well, and I consider them my legacy.
You bet. And I fully suspect as well that your sons would say that Mom was the kind of person that also would let us go out on our own path, but yet provide that support that you could as they took those steps forward.
Right.
Very good. Well, again, Judith Blair, advocate, volunteer for many causes. Thanks for joining us here in Circles of Change today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Indeed.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.